Welcome back, baseball fans, to episode 44 of the Nats GM Show, the only podcast available via the Nats GM Radio Network. I'm your host, Ryan Sullivan, editor-in-chief of NatsGM.com and the baron of all baseball podcasts. Before my guest arrives on the line, I would like to ask one quick favor, if I might. If you all would, please rate and review and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, as this greatly helps us gather additional listeners and a larger audience for this show.
This is Joe Imrahi from Baseball Prospectus. Show some want. Listen to the Nats GM Show.
And now, I am proud to welcome to the show, reporter for SB Nation and MLB Daily Dish, Chris Cotillo. Chris, welcome to the Nats GM Show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Did I get your last name right? Because I've heard it pronounced a couple of different ways.
It's Cotillo. It's Italian.
Oh, Cotillo. Okay. Well, then, first of all, I apologize. It's Chris Cotillo. And thank you very much for coming on the show. I'm a big fan of your work, and I'm very excited to talk to you tonight, a couple days before the trade deadline.
Yeah, it's an interesting time. A lot of stuff's going on. We just had two trades go down about 20 minutes ago with Clifford going to the Mets and Victorino surprisingly going to the Angels, so we'll see probably a lot of movement in the next few days.
Yeah, that's probably a perfect place to start. I think most people in my audience probably know you. I mean, we're mostly Nationals fans, Orioles fans, you know, D.C. area. Probably remember you breaking the Doug Fister trade about a year and a half, maybe even closer to 2 years ago now.
Right.
How did you get involved in baseball reporting? I think also a lot of people that know that you're 19 or 20 years old, you're a college student, so how did you get involved in baseball reporting?
It was always a huge passion of mine to be involved in baseball, and I kept track of all the trades on my own, just with trackers and Excel spreadsheets and different things that were just for my own benefit growing up. And then I started a Twitter account. This is my, I think, fourth trade deadline where I've been covering it on Twitter. So I started an account 4 years ago now. It was kind of an anonymous thing where I just aggregated a ton of different reports that were coming from other sources, and then after a while decided that I would try to reach out to agents and executives and players and any sources that I thought would be able to help me out. And to my surprise, a lot of them were really receptive of someone who was trying to break into the business. And I was able to break a couple things. Obviously, the Fister deal was a huge part of it and really solidified that I was a credible source. And so I'll always be a big Doug Fister fan just because his name helped me really make a career out of this.
Well, that might be a perfect place for what advice would you give to somebody trying to get into the business?
I get this question a lot. A lot of people reach out and ask, you know, how can I get into the reporting business? What I always tell them is you just have to show that you're passionate about it. Social media really allows us all, if we have a press credential, if we don't have a press credential, to get involved in baseball reporting and baseball in some way. You know, you can communicate with your favorite players in a way that's never been possible before. You can communicate with executives and agents and everything, and information is just at our fingertips at all times. So social media, blogs, places like SB Nation where we have all of our team sites and everything really give people an opportunity to talk about their teams, to write about their teams, and even if they don't have the press access that, you know, reporters that have been doing this for a while have had. So it's just all about showing people that you care and that you have talent in writing, and things kind of materialize from there.
Well, and that leads into the next question of, as I mentioned, you are a college student, you know, while you're working in baseball. How do you balance both, particularly, you know, during the school year? I mean, what is your schedule like, you know, while you're trying to balance classes and trying to, you know, make a name for yourself or continue making a name for yourself?
This year was a lot more difficult than I thought it would be, just managing time and everything. And, you know, college is a completely different experience than high school, obviously, and it really was for me. I just basically just have my phone on at all times to make sure that I'm always up to date with what's going on in the baseball world. School is always comes first when I'm during the school year because, you know, that's getting the degree in journalism is probably the most important thing to advancing this career further. So it's just a balance of those two things. When I'm in class, I always have my eye on my phone, you know, just even if I'm not supposed to, because I kind of have to be in tune with everything, especially during the off season and the months of January and February when I'm in school and stuff is happening. It's a big balancing act, and, you know, it's tough. It's not easy.
Have you had any awkward run-ins with teachers or any awkward moments, you know, during class and all of a sudden you got to go scoot out to talk about, you know, a major trade?
Yeah, in high school I did. In college, you know, I'm at a big school at UNC, so there's huge lecture halls where I can kind of sit in the back, and, you know, the professor doesn't pay a lot of attention. But in high school, where we had classes of 18, 19 kids, I'd have to kind of be discreet about it, and I faked a lot of bathroom breaks, a lot of water breaks during class to either call a source or text someone or do whatever it took at that point.
That's pretty, that's funny. I can almost just see you, hey, Teach, I got to go run out. I can just see that happening. So
exactly.
Well, I have limited time with you tonight because I know you're busy, so I do want to maybe another time get into a little bit more of your, you know, your history and so forth, but I want to talk trade deadline if I can with you.
Mm-hmm.
We just saw Tyler Clippard go to the Mets maybe even about a half hour ago, frankly, as we're recording. Some were talking he might go to the Nationals. That's kind of, what are you hearing with Washington in the next couple days? What are you hearing?
I really thought they were going to get Clippard. When there was reports last night that the Nationals, the Mets, and the Yankees were in on him the most, the Nats, just because of their track record with not only him, but with the A's as an organization, you've seen those two teams make so many trades back and forth over the years. You've had players like Kurt Suzuki, you know, go originally from the A's to Washington, then back. A.J. Cole's another name that's been thrown out in that kind of situation. So I thought when the Nationals were interested, the A's were going to try to accommodate them in a deal. But it looks like they got a really good arm from the Mets and Meisner. He's kind of a guy that's burst onto the scene this year. He's now up to the 15th best prospect in the Mets system before this deal. The Nationals, talking to people today in the organization, they're really focused on the bullpen. It seems to be their number one concern. Obviously, you have the big names out there. Appelbon, the Aroldis Chapman is a name that's been out there. So they're going to continue to be aggressive, try to pair someone with Storen. And I think last year, Kansas City's run to the World Series really emphasized to baseball people and to fans how important a strong back end of the bullpen can be. You saw what those guys did with Herrera, Davis, and Holland. Other teams, instead of having that one great closer at the back end, you want two or three guys now. That's why the Yankees are in on guys like, you know, they're going to be looking at Kimbrel potentially and Chapman, even with the chances of Miller, because you just want to stack your bullpen as much as you possibly can and have three guaranteed innings of dominance at the end. So the Nationals are really trying to do that, even with Storen in the mix, and it looks like they're not yet willing to pay the prices that are out there for guys like Kimbrel and Papelbon or Chapman. But as we get closer to the deadline, and the Phillies are going to be desperate to move their guys, obviously. The Brewers are another team with K-Rod. That could be an option, though we haven't heard that name specifically. Padres, obviously, are trying to trade all their veterans away in a rebuilding-type situation there. So we'll see a lot of teams getting desperate, and maybe the asking prices will get lowered to a place where the Nationals want to work with them.
If I can put you on the spot, what does Washington do or not do before Friday's deadline?
I will say that I expected that someone in the back end of the bullpen. It's really too tough to tell who it could be. Just there's so many scenarios, and there could be surprise guys that get in there. You've heard the names that have been out there for a while, but there's always those one or two surprise trades. I believe they were a finalist for Clipper today with the Mets. I think the Yankees fell out of it a little early, but the Nationals were in it up until the end. So they're being aggressive. They have their, you know, eyes on plenty of bullpen guys, and I expect to land one by Friday.
Okay, so you just expect bullpen. You're not expecting a bat for any reason?
I mean, there could be. There's rumors out there. I know Zobrist is a name they like a lot. It seems like everybody likes Zobrist, and that ask price is going to get really, really high. I think bullpen is what they're really focusing on right now.
Okay, let's let me go up 95 if I can real quickly and talk with you about the Orioles. I've heard conflicting reports. Some people are saying they're going to buy. Some think they're going to sell. They're in a unique position with some free agents. What are you hearing on the Orioles?
Yeah, Duquette, again, today came out and saying that they're going to try to improve the ball club for this year. They're going to be buyers, even though, you know, some people think they could sell Chris Davis or a couple other pieces there. I think they'll try to improve. I think they're going to add a starter. I think Miami's a good fit for them with either Dan Heron or Matt Latos. One of those guys could definitely end up in Baltimore. You haven't really heard them that much on Hamels or on Price or some of the high-end guys. Giovanni Gallardo in Texas is another one who may make sense for them. I think a starter would be a good move, and potentially adding a bat. You have them in on Justin Upton, which would obviously be a huge move for that club. Jay Bruce is another one who has kind of been linked there. And so there's a lot of people out there that could help that team, and I really don't think they're going to sell at this point.
Do you think what do you think the odds are that they get a bat like an Upton or a Bruce? Do you think they have enough ammo, so to speak?
I think they do if they talk about Kevin Gausman. I mean, he seems to be the guy that they really, really want to keep, but a lot of teams really, really want in trade talks. And there's been a lot of conflicting reports on that. There are reports they're willing to move him as of the other day, and then I think Buck Showalter, I think the quote was that he thought it was comical that they'd even think about moving him. So it's that's tough this time of year. There's so many conflicting things. Teams are saying things that anonymous sources are obviously saying different things. You even saw that. I mean, Brian Price, 2 hours before the Cueto deal was announced, that there was absolutely no movement on that front. So you can really never tell what teams are doing, but I think the Orioles do have some ammo to get that bat, and I think especially with them, their window is closing with so many free agents coming up at the end of the year that in kind of an open division, I know the Yankees have really, you know, distanced themselves a little bit, but there's some potential for movement in that division with the Red Sox having a down year. The Blue Jays can't seem to get it together. The Rays are collapsing a little bit. To make a run at this, especially with so many veterans who are going to be leaving Baltimore probably at the end of the year.
Okay, so Baltimore and the Nationals are both buyers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One last team I want to ask you about. I am going off script. The Mets. We've seen them buy Clippard and Uribe and Kelly Johnson over the weekend. Do you think they're done, or are they still searching?
They still need that big bat. I mean, Johnson and Uribe are complimentary additions. They definitely help. You saw what they did over the weekend. Both guys, Johnson hit a home run. Uribe had a walk-off hit. And then, you know, reinforcing the bullpen today is a big thing for them. Clippard adding to that back end of Parnell. Familia, some other guys, definitely helps. I think that they're one big bat away from being serious contenders. Their rotation is scary, not just this year, but for the next 5-6 years with Matt Harvey, who is a UNC guy, so I'll have to be a big fan of him, and then Matt, Syndergaard, and all those other guys they have. They're a team definitely to watch in terms of making a big move, and I think they got a bad rap in the media early on. There were reports that they didn't want to give up anything in terms of prospects or money for players, and then all of a sudden you have them as the most aggressive buyer so far with Uribe, Johnson, and Clippard. So I would expect them to at least try to keep adding pieces, and a bat like Jay Bruce or Justin Upton or a Para with Milwaukee could definitely fit in there.
Okay. Last questions I want to ask you. I just want to go through kind of the big names that are out there and get your opinion of where they might land. Let's start with Cole Hamels. We've heard, 10 teams probably linked to Hamels. Where do you think he goes, if anywhere?
It's tough to really predict that. I mean, Cueto, you kind of knew that the Royals were one of the most aggressive teams, and that made sense. With Hamels, we've been hearing the Rangers for it seems like 3 years. The Dodgers, we've been hearing that name for a long time. So these guys, I mean, those teams, the thing that worries me with the Phillies is the Rangers and the Dodgers have been talking about, and the Cubs to a certain extent, and the Red Sox, and even the Giants are getting thrown in there now. But especially the Rangers and the Dodgers have been the teams linked to Hamels not only all last offseason, but last year, the trade deadline as well, probably the year before. And talks between John Daniels and Amaro, or, you know, I know there's a new regime in L.A., but they've talked about Hamels to this point, being there through the offseason. Talks didn't really get anywhere because the deal didn't get done before, and I just wonder if the urgency for the Phillies will change now. We still haven't seen them do anything this month, especially, I mean, they should have traded Papelbon already. Hamels should be gone already. Howard, Utley, there's a lot of names that they should have moved, and they're all still there. So the Phillies are the kind of team that you just kind of scratch your head sometimes thinking, you know, you're going to just lose your opportunity like they did last year with Cliff Lee to move some of these guys. And that makes it really difficult to predict the market for a guy like Hamels who, you know, he obviously pitched amazing the other day in a no-hitter, but they just can't seem to pull the trigger, and their asking price has been too high for years.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, it almost sounds like you think he's got a decent chance to stay.
I think there's a better chance of him to stay than a lot of people think. I know there's a lot of teams interested. The Diamondbacks jumped in today, which is interesting. They're really interested in controllable starters. But looking at the Phillies' track record, I would not be surprised if he stayed. I would put it at 50-50 right now with 4 days to go.
Wow. Okay, same question with David Price.
I think he's going to stay. I think, from what we've been hearing, SB Nation, we have a bunch of people who who talk to front offices and our Tigers blog has been hearing consistently that they want to win this year and they want to be buyers. And so that has kind of been confirmed a little bit today. Dombrowski actually spoke to John Heyman today with CBS and confirmed that and said that they want to be buyers. They want to try to win this year. A lot of people thought Rajai Davis was traded today when he followed a bunch of Cardinals people on Twitter, but that seemed to be some weird sort of trolling thing he did. So we have, you know, they have names. Cespedes has been out there linked to a bunch of teams. Price, but I really think Price will stay unless they decide to blow it all up. And they're kind of, the window's obviously closing for them to make a decision. They have a series in Tampa that is apparently determining what they're going to do on Friday. I see reports like that, and I find it hard to believe that a team who's been so successful over the last few years, like the Tigers, is going to determine their entire plan for the future based on three mid-season games in Tampa. So that comes out like, oh, if they win, if they sweep the series, then they're going to keep guys. I just don't think it's that simple. I think they want to buy, but if, you know, there's a lot of forces at work there with Illich and a lot of other things. So Price has already said that he could come back to Detroit. Cespedes has said that he wants to be back in Detroit next year. So I would be pretty surprised if they became aggressive sellers, but it's definitely not out of the question.
Okay. Next name, Ben Zobrist. You mentioned him earlier to Washington with Clippard getting traded. Is he the next domino in Oakland?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was Kazmir, Clippard, and Zobrist as the three guys in Oakland who are most likely to go. So just looking at how many teams are in on him, the Royals actually seem to be the most aggressive report today. They're going to be in until the end on him. The Mets have been in, but the fact that they already worked out a trade with Oakland and were unable to include Zobrist in any way is kind of a sign that that will work out. Mm-hmm. Washington's been in. San Francisco is a weird fit just because the Bay rivalry, they don't really want to trade between those teams, which those kind of things never make sense to me either. But that's the thing that has been out there. They don't want to trade between those two teams. The Cubs would love Zobrist. There's a geomatic connection there. The market is so deep that it's almost hard to predict exactly where he's going to go. But the Royals, if I were to say one favorite right now, I'd say Kansas City.
Okay. I'm going to link these two guys together because in some ways they are. Kimbrel and Chapman. What are you hearing on both of them, and what do you think of their chances to move this week?
The Chapman asking price right now is said to be ridiculous, so I don't know if he'll go. It would be smart of the Reds to move him. I think it would be smart of the Padres to move Kimbrel as well, but the asking price for both of those guys seems high right now. I think there's a report today that the Padres wanted Trey Turner back from the Nationals, which is that's a saga that's been drawn out for a long time now. So with him being the player to be named later and now potentially on the move again and then rumors to go back to the team, he's only been, you know, in with the Nationals for a couple months now. So the Nationals don't want to do that, and they're not willing to pay that insane price. Chapman, there's an even higher asking price. So those guys definitely could move. I think Papelbon is more likely to move than them in the closer market, and I think K-Rod is a name no one's really talking about, but he's an all-star this year and probably cost you a little less than the other guys will cost you, and a guy that's probably likely to be moved up in Milwaukee.
Okay, so it sounds like, once again, that you don't think the closers necessarily will go. Kimbrel and Chapman, I mean.
We're at the point where there's 4 days left, and if the asking prices are so high that teams are just blown away by them and then leaking that out to the media, you have to say, if you're a team, the Reds showed that they're going to be sellers with moving Cueto. The Brewers moved Aramis Ramirez, and the Phillies still haven't done anything, as I said. But you have to make a decision where you just have to get as much value as you can without asking way too much. Because if you ask way too much, it turns teams off, and you'll end up being stuck with guys like the Phillies have been for the last few years.
Yeah, that's actually a great cautionary tale. That's a good point. Chris, I could talk to you, trades and everything all day long, but I'm sure you're swamped and you got plenty to do. I'd love to give you a spot here for your plugs before we get out of here and I let you go.
Thanks. It's Chris Cotillo on Twitter, Cotillo, and then you can read my stuff at SBNation.com or MLBDailyDish.com.
Well, thank you very much for joining me and clearing a few minutes here before the trade deadline and with a few trades just being made. Thank you very much. Big fan of your work, and I hope we can have you back sometime, maybe when it's not quite as crazy and hectic.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. And that was my interview with SB Nation's Chris Cotillo. Hopefully I got that right this time. Thank you to him. Very appreciated for coming on and giving me 20 minutes here. Right, you know, he had two trades that he was writing up before we got on the air. So just thank you to Chris. Hope to have him back on again sometime. With that, episode 43 is a wrap. I am Ryan Sullivan at NatchGM.com on Twitter. Bye for now.